Luke chapter 2, we're going to be 21 to 24. Let's read it and then we'll pray. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word is truth. And we pray, Father, that even now as we look into it, that you would open it up to us and give us an understanding of it, that we could rejoice in thy teachings and apply it to our hearts. So we ask for thy guidance this day. We pray that thy grace and mercy be with us. And where we come short, we do ask forgiveness for many sins in Christ's name. Amen. Now we've seen in an earlier statement here in this chapter that verses 13-14, there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So the time has come for God's love to be known in its fullness, and his mercy is to be revealed in the atonement of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when the angel spoke to these shepherds, there was no hesitation with them. There was no doubting and there was no questioning done by the shepherds. And they made haste to go to Bethlehem to see these things that the angels had revealed to them. Thought for us today. The shepherds, their simple, unquestioning faith received a rich reward. Think about that. Their unquestioning faith. They believed it and they acted on it. They had the privilege of being the first, other than Mary and Joseph themselves, to see the Lord Jesus, the baby in the manger. Think about that. Think about what a reward to them it was that angels revealed this, and they made haste. They went to the countryside around Bethlehem where they were watching the flocks. They were close by. Think what a reward that was to these men. All the days of their natural life here on this earth. Not even speaking of the marvelous grace that the Lord showed them in giving them this privilege. Down here, verse 21 says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, and it was customary that on the 8th day, a male child was to be circumcised. So when this time come, and they named him, it says his name was called Jesus. But now why did Jesus, the Son of God, need to be circumcised? We're going to deal with some of these things today. First John chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 tells us this: whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. This baby had never sinned and will never sin. But yet, he was obedient to the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. He didn't transgress it. And verse 5 says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. It's found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. Now let's look at what the law of Moses said. Genesis 17:9, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. So that was the law that was set forth. And in this, did Christ need to be circumcised? In one sense, no. In the other sense, he has fulfilled the law in every detail. He kept the law. So it was of a big importance for him to be circumcised. Not for himself, but for us. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Let's read verse 16 and 17. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. So, in this, we see Jesus as an infant. Now he was a babe there, and most people seen him as a babe. They seen him in the flesh. But was he ever not the Son of God? No. Was he ever not God? No. Even as this infant, he did the things that other children done. But at the same time, he was God. And he walked in obedience to the Father. So in this, we see that Jesus was an infant, and he rendered obedience to the Jewish law. Keep this in mind now, because this is highly important. But in history, this is the first or the earliest fact in history as we know it, which is recorded in his history. He was born, then he was circumcised on the eighth day. And this is his first recorded fact of his obedience to the law. And he fulfilled it in his 33 years, absolutely and entirely, to the brim. He filled it, the law, in every aspect. Flip over to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So we can see here why it was important that He fulfilled every iota of the law. He was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son. See, we could not fulfill the law. We come short in every point. But yet, if we were going to be adopted, we had to have someone to fulfill the law for us. So now what verse 5 is saying is, Christ was made under the law to redeem them that was under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So his circumcision was a public testimony to Israel. And today it's a testimony to us as Christians. That according to the flesh, he was a Jew, made of a Jewish woman, made under the law. Now without this, he would not have fulfilled the law's requirement. Without going through all this, he could not have been recognized as the son of David and of the seed of Abraham. Even though he was, but if he had not fulfilled all this, he would not have been recorded. So circumcision according to the law was absolutely necessary before he could be heard as a teacher in Israel. If he wasn't circumcised, he would not have been received as a teacher of Israel. Without being circumcised, Jesus would have had no place in any lawful Jewish assembly. And he had had no right to any Jewish ordinance. So the thought for us today, and this is a lesson to be learned. Here Christ our Lord submitted to an ordinance which in and of himself he did not need. To teach us, let us endure much rather than cause an offense for the gospel. You see where that can be applicable? Look at all the hardships that he went through. To fulfill the law. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verse 19. Well, let's go ahead and read verse 18 with it. That'll give us an introduction. This Paul right here, he says, "What is my reward then, verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel?" Verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all." See how he's subjecting himself? Even though in and of himself, he says, "I'm free from all men. Nobody can hold anything over me. But yet I willingly subject myself to them, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I become as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." He subjected himself to this. "To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak become I as weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Paul here saying he was willing to submit himself to whatever situation was at hand to accomplish the purpose of God. Same thing Christ did. He fulfilled the law in every iota, right down to circumcision, that he could be what he needed to be for his people. Then our text today, verse 21. "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Verse 31 in chapter 1 tells us, that's the record on it, talking to the angel, and he told her, says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb." So this was at the point where he was telling her what was coming to pass. "Thou shalt bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." So God's gave a special command by the angel Gabriel to her to give him his name. So Christ, as the Son of God, before he was ever incarnate in the flesh, had picked this name. And who knows what the word actually means? It means Savior. Simple translation, it means Savior. Now Joshua in the Old Testament, in the Jewish language, means Savior. So Jesus, the Son of God, came down from heaven, but not to only be our Savior, but think of this, he was also our King. He was known as the lawgiver. One passage says, "The Lord is our judge." He had several titles of high public recognition. Why didn't he pick one of those? Christ, as the Son of God, before it was ever made known to man, as it was when the talked to Mary. His name was picked in the heavens as Savior. Psalms 10:16 says, David says in the Psalm, the Lord is King forever. Isaiah 33:32 says, He is the lawgiver. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King, He will save us. Isaiah 33:32. Now Jesus could have chosen any of these titles, but He passed them by. And in my mind, I ask myself questions all the time. Why would He not pick a title like this? But the Lord chose a name which speaks of mercy and grace. We can say, is Jesus our Lord? Is Jesus our Savior? If Jesus is mine, He's my Savior. That's His name. So Jesus is our Savior and our Redeemer. He paid the price for our sins. And He delivered us from the guilt and the power of sin. He also delivered us from Satan's bondage. So the name Jesus fits Him perfectly. Savior. And verse 21 down here, get this on the right page. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before He was conceived in the womb. Verse 22, And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So they brought Him to Jerusalem from Bethlehem for the days of purification. We're not going to get into that a great deal. But Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, Malachi says, And behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That's making reference to John the Baptist. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. This is talking about Jesus Himself. He shall suddenly come to the temple. And He arrived at the temple on the 8th day. The offering which Mary made was designed to be made by poor people. Now we could have spent 2 lessons researching the verses that deal with this, but I selected what I felt like would give us an in-depth understanding. If she wasn't able to bring a lamb, then the law permitted two doves or two pigeons. A person that could not afford to buy a lamb. Then this was permitted to them. So her offering was a public declaration that she was a very poor person. Now, our Lord's portion in this life was as a poor man. He rejected the great whip. We've seen this in our earlier studies, but this right here sort of brings everything into a summary. He was tended to as a babe by a poor woman. She had no wealth or any royalty or any prestige in the community whatsoever to lay claim to of somebody special. She was a common working person. Her husband was a carpenter. And from everything I can find out about the area they lived in, it was a very, very poor town. History bears that out. So Christ was born into a state, would we call it poverty? They were working, but they had nothing extra, as we would call it today. They didn't have a bank account. So he was tended to as a babe by a very poor woman. His first 30 years he lived under the roof of a poor man, a town carpenter that would pick up odd jobs here and there where he could. He ate, this is logical deductions, he ate a poor man's food. Have you ever sat and thought and just meditated over what type of childhood that he had? The scripture gives us some enlightenment. He's always the Son of God. And like when he was about 12 years old, where they went for their pilgrimage to the temple. And they'd got a day's journey back towards home before they even missed it. They thought he was in the caravan. But he's up talking to the wise and the learned to the degree that they could not intimidate him, because he's even as a boy and living as a boy, he still was the Son of God. And he had all the fullness of a Godhead bodily within him from the day of his birth. But yet, with all of this, he ate a poor man's food. He wore a poor man's clothing. He didn't wear the great robes that the wealthy would walk around in. He was a carpenter's son, and there's few places it implies that he worked with his dad, his earthly dad, as a carpenter. So he worked a poor man's work. The Son of Glory. And he shared the troubles of all the troubles of the poor. Think about that. If the neighbor's ox fell into the ditch as a poor man, what happened? The neighbors would go and help him to retrieve it. If one fell sick, they would pitch in and help him do his work till he could regain his health. He did the work of a poor man. They did not have the money, as the wealthy did, to hire somebody to go and meet their obligations for them. Question. Could there possibly be any trials or hard times that we go through in our life that Christ didn't personally experience? I don't believe so. These scriptures in the Bible makes reference to these things. And understanding that and then studying this is everything I could find on his childhood. He was an everyday boy. He's a good boy. He honored his father and his mother. But I don't think that living the life that he lived, that there's no trials or hard times that we face in our lives. And we face a lot. Over the years, we have faced a lot of things. But whether he experienced the same thing or not, but he experienced something in the same relation to it, that he would have an understanding today, personally, from experience, everything that we go through. Therefore, his compassion will be great for his people. When we go before him for mercy, he understands what we're feeling. He understands what we're asking him. Think about that. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. And the law, when you go back to the Old Testament and read it, it tells us, anyone that cannot afford a lamb, two turtle doves was acceptable, or two pigeons, whichever you could acquire, one for yourself and one for the babe. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that was the offering she gave for herself and for the Lord of glory. He was born to a poor family. That was a choice by God himself. So through all of this, this right here, whatever trials we go through in this life, he can have compassion on us because he has been there while he was in the flesh. Anybody got any questions?
You know, you think about it, about the knowledge that he had. You know, they didn't have books and stuff in the Bible and the computer and all of that like we had. He had all that knowledge. But yet he was taught in the temple still, and he comprehended what they had to say. And it carried on too in his growth. But what a blessing we have.
But you think, Christ himself experienced just about every trial that we can imagine that we go through. Charlie, would you dismiss us?
Gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We are thankful to you for your blessings. We thank you for the day and for the beauty of it, for those things that we will experience even out of church. We do thank you this morning, though, for the opportunity to be found in your house to worship you. And we pray that you might bless all the time that we have that we're here, that you might glorify yourself, open our hearts and minds. May we glorify thee in Christ. Amen.
No, I couldn't see no more than like all of the stuff.